Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That is the one and only J.T. Holton. Okay, maybe it's JT Pavarotti. I didn't know. Did I treat you fairly that time? You felt slighted.
That was well. No, you outdid yourself. That was good.
Okay. There's no Josh tonight. We cannot apparently all stay on the show at one time. I'm not sure why.
Listen, it's summertime. Things are crazy.
I think it's the personalities. Like, there's just too many big personalities.
We're like the Beatles. We can't be in the same room together. We can't be in the studio together anymore.
It's like
the
John
personalities got too big.
I've got John
too
and Paul.
Too much fame.
I'm poor little Ringo over here just trying to, like, keep up with John and Paul in the background, you know. And Boggy's George.
And we can't record together because
Boggy is like
goes,
George. He's
Boggy's
off,
George.
He's over in India, like, learning to play the sitar or something.
And underrated. Boggy, you know? He's the best one of all of us.
Best one of all of
does,
us by
doesn't
far.
Get the attention.
But he's
but
also
he's
probably, like,
one.
High as kite and weird. Like, nobody's exactly sure what Boggy's thinking. Like, you know, I mean, that's exactly where we're at, you know. Hey, Boggy, we love you. Speaking of Boggy, he dropped, like, all this information on Knockoff Nation because...
What Boggy does.
It's what he does. He's amazing. Amazing like that. And hey, there is actual talk of MLB baseball taking place this season, JT. Can you believe it?
Dude, my dad texted me the other day. Baseball starts in 1 month. That's all it said. And I was like, yeah. Like, yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm excited. Man, I haven't been this excited in a long time because for a regular baseball season, we have it built as fans in our mind that, hey, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, like, feel it out for a little bit. April doesn't really matter. Start paying attention to the standings around Memorial Day. And then by the time August gets here, then it'll kind of ramp up. With this, it's like a 40-yard dash. It's a mad sprint. I mean, just on raw math, it's almost each game is almost three times as valuable as your typical regular season game. So I can't wait just because that just makes
so
everything.
I can't decide if I'm completely sickened by a short season or super excited. Like, I'm still in this weird place of they're talking about they're going to put a runner on second for extra innings. It's like they inflate the balloon and then start punching holes in it, you know.
Oh, okay, what about this wacky job? What
right
about
right
this?
Universal DH, to be honest, I knew it was coming. I mean it's the end. Moment of silence for the DH. They're never going to have it again. They're saying it's not guaranteed that they're going to do it next year, but you know they're not going back to it after they've changed.
Listen, people always say, look, have you seen Folty bat? Well, I've seen him pitch in the deciding game of the playoffs, and that wasn't too well either.
That's true.
But I'll tell you this. I brought it up in the text like a week ago, and it was an interesting point. And what other sport is an athlete as ill-performed or as ill-prepared to perform the given task as a pitcher batting? It's not like in NFL they let a kicker run the ball. Like, how well would that go? Not well at all.
Well, I mean, they do sometimes, though, JT.
It's called a fake. Yeah. Yeah, and the goal is to have no one near him.
A fake punt. But, I mean, they do it, you know.
But
they don't do
it. You know what I mean?
They don't do it three times a game.
That's the exception. Sometimes Bartolo Colon gets a hold of a fastball and hits a home run, and
that's what makes it cool. Yeah, right.
And when the kicker fakes the field goal and runs 25 yards for a touchdown, it's a really cool play.
So I have less
exception to the rule.
I have less problem with the pitcher not batting side as I do with a batter not playing the field. That's what bothers me more. Like, I really. So there's a part of me that likes the purity of a pitcher batting. Like, there's a part of me that likes that.
We grew up on baseball playing that way.
But I can be okay with that, you know. But yeah. I'm not really okay with the other. It's like church league softball where you got some ringer guy that you call sure. in that hasn't been
to
church ever in his life. All he does is mash homers, and they stick yeah. him in right field because nobody in church league ball is going to hit a ball to right field.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he plays right
field. We had a
guy
named Lance on our church league softball team.
He weighs 330
feet to right field.
Yeah, he weighs 330. You can't buy a shirt big enough for him, but he hits a dinger every time he comes up. That's the way I feel like baseball goes with the route of the DH usually. And I don't like that.
Is that because, to me, it's like, okay, David Ortiz, Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
How can I properly assess his value if half the game he wasn't involved?
Right. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And I'm just using him as an example. There's plenty of other. Edgar Martinez, probably the mm-hmm. best example. Edgar Martinez, one of the top hitters throughout the 90s. And I think did enough to make it the Hall of Fame.
Who was that dude's name that played for the Royals?
Billy Butler.
Butler. Yeah. Couldn't do anything except DH. And, like, I don't mind. So a lot of people are talking about the possibility of Austin Riley playing DH, you know, for the Atlanta Braves, or even
makes
Nick Markakis DHing from time to time for the Atlanta Braves or something. You know, here's the, like, that's a different story, and I don't really mind that because those guys can play the field.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't like the idea of a guy not having to ever play defense in his life. Like, I just don't like it, you know?
I would say with this season, we can forget everything we know about baseball. And this is going to be a weird... We may see Ender Inciarte in center field and Christian Pache getting at bats as DH.
That's true.
A way to get him major league at bats and leave...
Especially late in the game or something, yeah.
Right. I love the Riley Camargo because our whole debate 6 years ago when this season started was third base, Riley or Camargo.
Yeah.
This is a way to get both their bats in the lineup. And I'm a firm believer that Camargo is a very good player, but he's not a guy that can show up every 3 days. He has to have, you know, get into a routine as most hitters do. And to maximize his value, it'd be great to find a way to put both their bats in the lineup.
Yeah.
There's no reason this is going to be a thing. It may be a thing where the DH is just gone forever.
Yeah.
But for this season being as weird as it is, this is just going to be different. And just
enjoy
it. Watch it. Enjoy it. And cheer for the Braves. Hope they win the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
And just forget about normal baseball for a little bit.
There's still rumors that they might expand playoffs. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm kind of okay with it this year. But again, the problem is then they'll do it next year and the next year. Like, I've seen some people arguing expanded playoffs are good. Playoff baseball is great. I'm like, have you ever seen the NBA? It's not good after a certain point. Like, it's not good to put half your league in the playoffs.
I'll argue this from a fan standpoint is that you say that until your team is on the verge of in that last playoff spot.
I guess.
And you know, because look, I'm a Hawks fan. I enjoy watching the NBA. And I would rather the Hawks get the 8 seed and make it to the playoffs because at least I get to watch playoff basketball and have a rooting interest.
I will
say
this. NBA is a lot more scripted. And what I mean by that
is
not necessarily that they're following an outside script, but if two teams play each other five games or seven games.
The better team usually
the better
wins,
teams,
yeah.
90%
hockey,
of the time,
for whatever reason,
win.
Is different. Hockey is different. Hockey, sometimes you'll see an 8 seed get hot and make the finals.
Right, right. And you don't see that in basketball. I don't remember the last time it happened in NBA.
The strike season of 99 when the 8 seed Knicks won the Eastern Conference and got beat by the Spurs. I think it's the only time that's ever happened.
Right.
But it's super duper rare. Usually just plays out where the chalk is gonna win.
With baseball,
the team with LeBron James on it's probably gonna win.
Right, right. With baseball, I can see a difference. You know, baseball is a much more random sport. You end up with
so many variables.
Game five in Atlanta where Folty gives up nine in the first. You know, I mean that kind of
baseball is the only sport where you don't control what happens to the ball. You throw the ball or run the ball.
Everyone knows
you got the ball in your hand.
Everyone knows that the Braves were better than the Cardinals this year. I mean, like, I know a Cardinals fan said, "Yeah, y'all were better." The
Braves
Cardinals got
the
hot. Yeah, the Braves were better than the Nationals for sure.
For like nine games.
Yeah.
So, but
you don't get there in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. You know. I'm fine with it this year for sure, especially with a smaller set of games. Because, like, you could seriously have six teams the last week of the season within, like, 3.5 games of each other. And because you have such a tight grouping of games, period, you know.
The only thing I can think of, like, expanding the playoffs is it's what. Keep in mind, if last year was 60 games, Nationals wouldn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let alone won the whole thing. So this is a way to ensure that, okay, if the Yankees, the Dodgers,
right,
get off to a slow start and they start, okay, you have a great, you have a safety net. You still get money
draws in there,
you still get them in the playoffs because,
right,
let's face it, they're two of the best teams in baseball.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's ensuring that you don't have, like, a mass calamity of a playoffs where, say, the Dodgers struggle like they did last year. Mm-hmm. Say the Yankees get some injuries and they struggle. And then instead of the Yankees, you've got the Blue Jays in. Instead of the Dodgers, it's the Padres. And, you know, and you don't want this huge asterisk next to whoever wins the World Series.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. If we there's go to be a 60-game season and there's no Yankees or no Dodgers in the playoffs,
yeah,
it's going to be like, oh, this didn't work out. Those two teams are good, right?
Yeah.
And usually, yeah, I mean, in baseball, your season isn't defined in 60 games. There's a whole extra 102 games to play. So it's going to affect everything from how you manage a game is going to be interesting. Because these baseball managers, they're going to have to change everything they know about managing a baseball club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything they know is going to be thrown out the window.
The last week of the regular season is going to be kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about the number of teams that will be wild card eligible if they expand the playoffs, a 3.5 game lead on Monday, you could go from first to out in one week.
Oh,
with
yeah,
a,
yeah.
I mean, like, over 162 games, that 3.5 game lead becomes a 10-12 game lead if you expand that out over 162 games, so that those teams are cruising for the last week of the season. You know what I'm saying? Like, but 60 games in, you're not cruising. You're three games up, and everybody's like, in a normal season, you're like, yeah, the Yankees are kind of starting to pull off with this thing. You know, they got four games, and then but the final week of the season, you hit a skid, and
you got to be on it from
suddenly
the get-go,
you go from top to out, you know. So, I mean, look, some people say it's not a legit season because of 60 games. That's a full college baseball season. So, it is a legit season in some regards. That being said, it's not baseball. And
it's not. It's not what it's we're weird. Used to. But I'll say this. You will be watching because the games will matter. And people
Maybe.
Will be watching.
I hope so.
And I thought this about the wild card play-in game. When they first came out with that, I thought that's the silliest thing I've ever heard of because it's one game. And anybody that knows baseball will tell you that any team can beat any team in one game. Like the worst team, you know, the worst team in baseball is still going to win a third of their games. You know, that's just the way it works out. The best team is still going to lose a third of their games. So I thought the wild card game was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And when the Braves lost that first one with the outfield fly rule, I still thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. But you know what I do when the wild card game's on? I freaking watch it.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I watch it. And so I'm on the edge of my seat from the first inning.
Competitively, it's still stupid. As far as a fan,
right,
as long as my team's not in it, I love to watch it. I can't stand to watch it if my team is in it. I don't want to watch
it. You may think
like,
the idea is stupid, and the idea may be stupid. But if people are watching, it's not stupid.
Oh,
because
I get
that's
it.
The
I
bottom
get
line.
That's all they care about.
Is this, it's a television show. And if people are tuning in, that's all that matters. So whether you like the purity of a pitcher hitting in the National League or whether you like the 162-game season or as opposed to 60-game, that doesn't really matter. All that matters is are people tuning in.
Well, we've said before that we think 162 games is too long. We've said that on the podcast.
We've said
a sweet spot is probably somewhere right around 140 games, maybe 135 to 140
That's
games.
That's why
it's
baseball doesn't
sweet.
Take off until all the other sports are done.
Right.
And then the boys of summer. Then you've got July and you've got August and – that's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
It feels like forever that the season hasn't started, and we're not even to July yet.
Let's be honest, if you're not a hardcore fan, most people kind of check out in July and through the middle of August and then pick back up about September to kind of see where their team's doing. You know,
I think, well, the hardcore fans are going to be watching anyway.
Yeah.
And I think this is interesting enough, and it's kind of like a show or a movie where I say, dude, you got to watch this. And you got to check out this movie on Netflix. And you look at the movie and it says running time 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You can go, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Or if it's 10 episodes and each episode is like Game of Thrones and it's an hour and a half, you might be like, I don't know. This might be palatable enough for the casual fan to be like, you know what? I've never been a huge baseball guy before, but this seems more interesting to where everything is, you know, kind of faster paced. I think it's a lot to get the casual fan involved and maybe win over people that otherwise would think baseball is this long, boring, takes all year
kind of thing. Maybe so.
It might be more digestible for somebody that's not a hardcore baseball guy.
So adding to the weirdness of the season, Braves will be playing their usual NL East foes, and they'll also be playing AL East foes. That's all they're going to play. So good news, you get Baltimore.
Great.
Bad news is you get Tampa, Toronto, Boston, and New York.
Honestly, Braves fans, root for extended playoffs, okay? Because we got a crappy draw here, okay? This sucks.
Now, that being said, the Braves are good in their division. The Braves
have
been good in their division. So
it's a tough – and at least it's tough enough.
I mean, let's be honest.
Miami out. The rest of the teams are
– Ronald Acuna will get to face the Marlins in 1/6 of his games this season.
He might break Roger Maris's home run record just in this.
Against the Marlins. In 2019, Acuna had a .319, .402, .708 slash line with 9 home runs, 18 RBIs, and 83 plate appearances against the Marlins. 9 home runs, 18 RBIs, 83 plate appearances.
I'd hit him too. You know what? I would. Urimia was right. You just hit that guy.
He pretty much scored a run or drove in a run. In 1/4 of his plate appearances against the Marlins. That's insane. That is insane. Now we also get to play Baltimore. The bottom of the NL East sucks. I mean, AL East, NL East, all of
Toronto,
it sucks.
Toronto's a team Toronto's got some pieces.
That's the reason I didn't name them. But Baltimore.
Toronto has some pieces. Now, Boston's a big question mark.
Yeah.
I think everybody anticipates them taking a step back. But in 60 games, you never know. They still got some pieces on that team. Of course, the Yankees are good. Tampa Bay is a team I look at, I'm like, oh, God. If anybody's built for a 60-game run, it's Tampa Bay. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Because
Kevin
Cash kind of manages like the 60-game season all the time.
There's some people, though, got to be looking at Atlanta and feeling kind of scared, too. Because this is a team you sometimes have wondered about their longevity to be able to play deep in a season, especially with this young talent that's still just kind of ramping up to full season speed. But, yeah, give me Austin Riley for 60 games, the first 60 games he came up, let's see if he can hit 30 home runs in 60 games.
Give me all these young arms that don't have to worry about pitch counts, that don't have to worry about innings limits or anything else.
And why wouldn't they worry about pitch counts? Well, that's because they're going to give teams – 60 players to be on the main stage. So where that's interesting is these 60 players, because there's no minor leagues, they'll basically be able to call these reserves anytime they want to.
With no options, limitations.
Right? Yeah, I haven't really understood exactly how they're going to work this out. Maybe Boggy... he's probably already tweeted the answer to the question I'm about to ask.
If anybody knows, Boggy's... But he's going to have the answer.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. But here's the thing. I'm sure for them to play in a major league game, they will have to get an MLB contract. That being said, I don't know how it will work with the 40-man and the 25-man and all that stuff. You know,
is the 40-man just scrapped and it's 60-man?
I guess. It's a little unclear to me how all that works.
Well, it's a 26-man roster anyway.
Right, you're right, It's not the
26, and now we've got basically, so you've got your 26, and then you've got an additional pool of 34 that you can use at any point. So if you're sitting at home, and you're a Jaceel De La Cruz fan, or a Freddie Tarnock fan, and you want to see them in the majors, this might be your year.
This is your year, yeah, for sure.
People at home in your Freddie Tarnock jerseys waiting to see him make his big league debut.
I'm looking for some Patrick Weigel actually pitching in the
majors. Oh, me too, man. Yeah, I got an autographed Patrick Weigel card. I'm waiting to be worth some money, so.
Yeah. But
did we forget about our guy Bryce Ball? I'm going to see Bryce Ball hit a
Bryce Ball, he might get to hit a ball before it's all said and done. Oh. Because that's the weird thing is there's going to be less days off, so how aggressive will managers be about forcing players to take a little rest here and there? How aggressive will they be about bringing up young players? We know Christian Pache and Drew Waters were knocking on the door already.
Don't you have to be aggressive?
But there's been no minor league season for them to develop either.
So don't they have to play?
I don't know.
You can't have,
I don't know.
You can't have Christian Pache not play baseball for a year.
Well,
right?
Maybe you can for this reason. If you call him up, it starts his service time clock. And do you want to do that for a 60-game season? I don't know. Boggy cuts down some of the numbers.
Here's my argument for that, Ken. We don't know, knock on wood, we get to play this whole year. But we're always a crazy outbreak away from just going all in the trash can. So it's not like you're going – there is a trade deadline. But how willing are teams going to be to trade for a piece? Well, we're not 100% sure there actually is going to be a championship at the end
of this. No trades are happening this year. They're going to have a trade deadline, but I'm not believing any significant
trades are
going to
happen. Because nobody's going to give up pieces for a rental that we may not even have a championship for.
And not only a rental, but not
a 20-game rental.
You're not sure 2021 is going to take place. So, especially with all the tension between owners and players, like, nobody's going to pull a Mookie Betts deal again after this.
Right.
Because the Dodgers are already screwed. They're only getting 60 games out of him, and they gave up Verdugo to get him. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
So I mean, Boston's sitting there like, ha, ha, ha,
We're paying how much for 60 games of, what's his name, Ozuna? Marcell Ozuna in left field?
Exactly.
So I think the additions that teams are going to have are these guys from the extra 34. So I think you're going to see Drew Waters. You're going to see Christian Pache. You're going to see all these guys come up. So that's exciting.
One thing that I'm interested in seeing is, will Snitker be more aggressive with slow starters? Because you can't have slow starters. You know, you can't have Andrés Ciarte bat 200 the first month of the season.
He'll figure it out
hot.
2 months in.
Right. Yeah. You can't trust that. You got to be aggressive, or you're going to be out. Like, that's the way this is going to work, you know.
And that's I think key for across the board in baseball. Managers are going to have to change their complete mindset and how they are ingrained to manage a baseball team.
You can't let King Felix go out there, and I love King Felix, but you can't let him go out there and fail for three games. He can't have three bad starts.
I thought King Felix signed with us, like, I thought that was like 4 years ago. I remember McAlpin being on, like, oh, King Felix got to get that fifth spot in the rotation. I thought that was 2016. That seems like so long ago. I forget he's still on the team. And we've got this guy named Cole Hamels, too.
Is awesome. Cole Hamels and King Felix only have to pitch, like, what?
Right.
Eight times? 10 times to be really valuable to the race. That being said, they only get to pitch 8 times. Like, you gotta be hyper aggressive. If
especially
they suck, you gotta pull the trigger. You know,
and like, you got the extra pull. You've got Ian Anderson at your disposal. You got Kyle Wright at your disposal. You have all these other guys.
You're gonna see from teams like Atlanta is I think you're gonna see a revolving bullpen. I think you're gonna see guys go on the DL constantly. They're going to put him on the 10-day DL.
The strongest part of the team is the bullpen.
Yeah.
The deepest.
So King Felix goes 4 innings. They pull in Ian Anderson. They pull in Patrick Weigel. They pull in Freddie Tarnock. They pull in Kyle Muller. Then tomorrow, Kyle Muller and Freddie Tarnock, all those guys go on the DL. I mean,
shoulder
like,
tightness.
15-day DL, and they bring
through
up 12 the next
pitches,
set.
Got hurt.
You know? They bring up the next set, you know, and like – that I really think you're going to see some of that craziness, you know?
Do you kind of feel like Alex Anthopoulos is a great guy to have? Like,
for sure.
Roster management standpoint, the way he's done this the past couple of years, it seems like he's a GM that this is built for. You know what I mean? Like, this is the way he tinkers with the DL, the way he maneuvers, this seems like right up his alley, where it's just like it's playing to his strengths. And I think from a combination of 20, it's weird to say 26-man roster, but as far as overall depth between having a good farm system but still having a very talented major league team, the Dodgers are extremely deep, but I think the Braves are right there.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, JT. I think you will see a lot of players not make their major league debut this year. I think it will surprise people how many teams don't push it. Because why would you start a service clock on a guy to only get 60 games out of him that had no minor league season to get prepped, that has zero at-bats against live pitching, major league pitching? I just don't think they'll do it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I really think they'll be super cautious, especially on the batter side of things.
You could be, but I think also what a great way to get some reps in at the major league level for a guy like a Christian Pache.
You just don't,
in this shortened season, yeah, come help us out.
You just
out.
Don't have the trash reps available. Like, in a 162-game season, you've got some trash reps out there. You've got blowout games. Yeah. You've got games where you're blowing out the other team.
But what does that help? How does that
Well, it helps in that they get to see major league pitching. I mean, pitching that they're not seeing at the AAA level, you know. And they get to get in a spot where the stakes aren't crazy high. You're not jumping into the fire. And I know some people respond well to the fire, but let's be honest. That's not like if you're in the Army and you're trained to be a combatant and everything, your first place you want to be is not in the middle of a firefight. You would like to kind of ease into this thing and kind of like find your way around because you're more likely to die if you're in the firefight day one, you know. And I think baseball is a little bit that way too. Like you can a few will excel, but a whole lot we'll find out that they need more time and they need some adjustments and they need to fail a little bit, and you just don't have room for them to fail in a 60-game season, you know.
That's true. You don't have room for failure. You don't have a chance to be like, okay, Ender, you're stinking up the joint, so let's bring Pache in, and then Pache stinks up the joint even worse.
Right.
But when anyone – look, if we're 20 games in, we're a third of the way through the season, and Ender is batting a robust 145 – would anyone blame Snitker if he made the switch?
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe Pache bats 125 and he's even worse. But, you know, I mean, can you blame him for making the move? At least he gave it a shot.
It'll be interesting.
Because you're not going to trade him. You don't have any other options.
It'll be interesting to see how service time stuff falls out. I think that's an important note. Boggy wrote this, assuming that they don't change any of the rules. You know, assuming they don't make a whole new rule set. A start date of 7/23, a finish date of 9/27. The cutoff to add the players to the active roster and preserve a year of service would be 7/29. So 7 days into the regular season.
Right.
The Super 2 cutoff would be like August the 16th. So the main thing that changes is quantities. 30 for the first 2 weeks, 28 for the next 2 weeks, and then normal 26 after that. And the number of service time days accrued each day, each player accrues 2.78 days of service per active day. So because of only 60-game season, one game's actually almost like three. So a player playing, that gets them that much more service time in a full year. So it'll be weird to see, you know, do they bring players up after that day and preserve their – because, like you said, JT, Christian Pache or some of those guys, maybe after that cutoff, because it's so early, they can bring guys up earlier and not lose the service time.
Right.
You know? I don't know.
I don't know if they're going to do anything to alleviate. Maybe they come out and say, hey, this won't affect service time. This is kind of a weird season. You know, there's still a lot up in the air with how they're going to, like, the ins and outs of the details of how they're going to work all this out. I mean, it's... I'm glad I don't have to do it.
Yes.
You know, but you know, there's a lot of things that need to be figured out in that respect from.
For sure.
You know, how they manage rosters and how this affects guys, you know, contractually.
Yep.
Service time and stuff like that. But I tell you what, if the Braves are got a chance to win the division this year and they're not making moves because of service time, I think a lot of people are going to kind of be disappointed.
Sure.
You know, like, we get I get what you're trying to do, but. Hey, there's a World Series trophy at the end of this.
It's just as valuable
as any other World Series trophy.
If they don't change it, though, only having to wait 7 days before calling guys up, I don't think fans are going to be as freaking out. Because you do get the luxury of fans still feeling like there's 162-game seasons ahead. Because fans aren't going to realize how important every game is. They're not. Like, they're going to think usual baseball until you're like, holy crap, there's 20 games left. You know, like.
Yeah, we got to go.
Yeah, right.
Well, and adds, man, just the added importance of, golly, a weekend set when the Nationals, you know, in Atlanta, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, talk about playoff atmosphere, man. Like, go ahead and set that up.
Imagine you sweep the Yankees early in the season. You know, I mean, that's a huge deal. Like, if you sweep a team for three or four games, you're not playing that team, but like what, eight times the whole season? You not even that much, maybe. I mean, one good sweep puts you that far ahead. I mean, what? I'm trying to think here. There's like 10 teams, right? So you would play 9 teams in a 60-game season. That's basically, I mean, 7 games per team, and you know your own division's going to get a little more healthy than that. So, you know, I mean, you're talking about playing the AL East 5 games each team. And,
yeah, and one thing I do like, and Lord, we haven't talked about baseball this much in a long time.
No, we haven't.
I like being able to, A, bring out my Yankees hate that I haven't been able to show since, golly, roughly 1996.
You know, that's the most hated team I've ever had, my personal most hated
personal
team.
In baseball?
I know people like hate the Phillies, and I don't like the Phillies, don't get me wrong, and the Mets and the Nationals, but my most hated team, I was the kid that was heartbroken in 96.
God, my mom called me out for crying in my bedroom.
I was 13.
Really, really rude for her crying, calling me out for that.
And I've hated the Yankees ever since. Hated Steinbrenner, hated Jeter, hated them all. So,
yeah, Charlie Hayes caught a pop-up in the right now. So remember, foul territory. Charlie Hayes catches the pop-up. Yankees win the World Series. I went to my room, and then I heard my mom go, "Stop crying. It's just baseball." I'm not crying. She didn't understand.
I hated the idea that George Steinbrenner could just throw money at the game and win championships. I hated it.
I was like, yeah, because I was jealous. I was like, yes. But what we did is Brace pretty much did that too. We just, not to the extent the Yankees did. But
right.
They'd go out and spend money. We'd spend money too. We'd sign Gary Sheffield. And,
all those seasons, you know, the Braves were in the top five, top eight.
Right. We're like, the Yankees spent too much money. We're
that being
four.
Said, when they were the top, they spent like $92 million. Now, teams spend like $225 million. Dollars. So, yeah.
Right. That's fine. Well, they can enjoy Aaron Judge striking out like 120 times in a 60-game season.
Yeah.
So, good luck. Enjoy that. I like it. And another thing I think is fun is that you're going to have matchups that you didn't get all season long.
That's cool.
When it comes to playoffs. You know, it's going to be kind of a throwback to what it was like
growing
up.
That is true. Yeah.
When you didn't see the Braves play the Twins all year.
Right,
you know?
Right. I do like that.
So you're going to get some cool stuff there. You know,
yeah.
So.
Well, you don't even see – what's crazy is you won't even see the Yankees play the Mariners all year. Or the Yankees play, fill in the blank. Like Trout versus the Yankees might seriously be a playoff matchup that no one's seen these two teams play all year. And that's kind of cool. You know, I think that's very special.
And a team that scares me is the Padres. We may not see them until the playoffs, you know, stuff like that.
For
it's going to be.
Well, the Braves aren't
going to
play
cool
the Dodgers all year. You know, I mean, and I think that's.
Hope we never have to, and it'll just.
Can you imagine how good that'll be, though, when, yes, the Braves want to face the Dodgers, but the Dodgers want to face the Braves? Like, they want to have seen.
I hope someone else eliminates the Dodgers, and we don't have to see them the whole way, and we can just win the World Series and never have to see them.
I will say this. I haven't seen rosters yet, so this is preemptive, and I reserve the right to change my mind. But the Colorado Rockies are going to be scary. Listen, they only have to play in the hot summer months. They're going to score like crazy. They get to play.
That was the case, they'd be doing that every year for the last 25 years.
But listen, they get to play in their own division only. They're not having to play other teams coming in. They don't have to face a bunch of NL East pitching dynamites. They get to face
the Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
And the Padres, maybe? The Padres
Diamondbacks might be all right. Diamondbacks might be.
But
good.
Their pitching's not amazing. I mean, Greinke.
Oh, yeah, but didn't the owner of the Rockies come out and be like, "We're going to win 90 games this year." And they're like, "You won 72 last year."
Yeah, they're overzealous. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, they don't have to play in
April. Arenado's a good player.
They don't have to play in April in Colorado. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I mean, no one Arenado's good.
He is.
He's also kind of unhappy there, too.
That's true. Maybe he'll be more happy with love in the time of COVID. JT, you missed out on all the fun earlier this week talking about the fake news and race relations. With the Bubba. We won't go into it too deep, but I did want to talk just briefly about it. Bubba just 100% doubling down that it's a noose and that this is bad and that it was 100% bigoted and racist gesture. NASCAR publishes a picture of said noose. Now, here's the hilarious thing. NASCAR gets the perfect angle to take a picture so that it looks like it's like a giant noose that would go around your neck. Someone else took an alternative picture of it without framing it perfectly, and it's like barely the size of your hand. Also, it's not a noose for people who never were in Boy Scouts. It's 100% a knot that you would tie that doesn't choke down. It's designed so it doesn't like close down on your hand when you pull something. Guarantee you, JT, what happened? Some Boy Scout dude sitting there. They don't have race practice for like 3 hours. He's in the garage just killing time. And he's like, you know, I can make this better. He just whips it out, right. I can't remember even the name of the knot off the top of my head, but it's not a noose. It's a different kind of knot. Flips that thing around there.
Slip knot. Is that not it?
No, it's not a slip knot. It doesn't slip.
It's a terrible band.
It's a non-slip knot. They're kind of like an insane clown posse. But he ties it up and he leaves it there. Like, I don't think there was anything race-related about it. Apparently, a lot of people are offended by it because they're from the inner city and were never into Boy Scouts. Because, like, I was tying that knot when I was 10 years old in Boy Scouts. You know, like,
I joined the Boy Scouts and I wanted to shoot guns. And they were just like, here's a fisherman's knot. And I'm like, I'm 12. I don't care about a fisherman's knot. Like, that
where's
sucks.
The guns? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot a shotgun. I don't want to tie a fisherman's knot. Like, that's I'm in right. sixth grade. What do I need this for?
Welcome to the NRA, JT.
Yeah, it's just fisherman's knot. What am I? Yeah. Fisherman? Like, yeah, what? But yeah, by the way, fisherman's knot would make a square.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And yeah, I think this is it shows A, how bored we are as a sports
that's
culture.
That's true.
This is a story. B, how starved NASCAR is for star power.
That's true.
I don't blame them for that. That's their job, is to make people tune into their product. And they did a good job glamorizing this and publicizing this.
For sure.
And three, I think anybody, if you hate black people, if you're just one of those people that says, they don't look like me and I don't like them, well, the black guys from Alabama named Bubba, you're probably going to like them, especially if they drive race cars for a living. I don't know. There's too many questions to be asked. And we're never going to know the answers. So that's you know, we're always going to be debating this because we'll never know. But I do know this, that NASCAR has a tendency to see somebody that's, you know, a star in the making and run with it and try to make money off of it. They did this. Danica Patrick is a fine example. Danica Patrick was a female driver. She's pretty good looking, pretty easy on the ice. And didn't she date Aaron Rodgers for a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're still together, aren't they? I don't know.
No, Aaron Rodgers with Olivia. Was it Olivia Munn?
He doesn't have good taste in women, does he?
Well, because he likes dudes secretly.
I can see that.
But I think the problem with Danica Patrick was she wasn't very good at winning races.
She wasn't as pretty as they made her out to be.
No, but as far as people in NASCAR, I mean, she's way hotter than Kevin Harvick.
That's true. Or Kyle Busch.
In my opinion.
I don't know. Yeah, Kyle Busch is kind of feminine, but still. Just saying.
It's not my time. Quint Boyer, he's a handsome fellow. But NASCAR has a tendency to do this where they'll be like, hey, we see an opportunity here. And I kind of feel like, I feel like Bubba's being used here because Bubba didn't know about this. Like,
yeah.
Bubba was on Dan Patrick yesterday. And he talked about, hey, because of coronavirus, we're social distancing. I'm not in the garage because you can't have your driver getting sick.
Then why is Bubba making such a big deal out of it? That's the problem I have. It's like, once
because
you've seen it.
Being told to. I think there's a part where NASCAR's promoting this to say, and it's cool. It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing for NASCAR to stand up and say, hey, man, we're against racism.
Yeah, right, right.
Because if any sports league needs that, it's NASCAR. To say, like, hey, we're not a bunch of redneck backwards hillbillies.
I still feel like NASCAR totally planned this. And I don't mean they planned the knot necessarily, but they put him in a Black Lives Matter car. They banned the Confederate flag at Talladega. They went into this looking for something to make a scene with, and then they got it. They got the thing they were looking for, even if it's not even real, you know.
And they took an opportunity and ran with it. And that's okay because, look, like I just said with baseball, your job is to make sure that people watch your television program.
Yeah.
That's that's why you exist, is to get butts in the seats and tune them onto your channel. And NASCAR is an opportunity now, especially with the Talladega race that this all happened at, being on a Monday.
It was a good race.
No other sport playing.
It was a good race.
Great race. The finish of the race was awesome.
It was crazy. Yeah.
And
the sad part was the race finish didn't get talked about. Bubba,
it didn't. It got
doubling down,
Bubba.
Got talked about, and that was what was sad because it was such a good race. It was actually the best Talladega race probably in the last 5 years.
This is what I think is getting lost in the whole thing is that A, NASCAR has a marketable superstar in Bubba Wallace. That doesn't mean he's good at racing cars or whatever. I'm not telling you he's going to be a 5-time NASCAR champion. I'm just saying he's a handsome, well-spoken, black dude named Bubba from Alabama. And NASCAR needs that. And number two is, dude, all they did was make a thing of it and say, hey, we are against racism. And if any sports league in the world needs that, it's NASCAR.
Sure.
To say, hey, we're not going to stand for this kind of crap. Even if that kind of crap is made up. Even if it's completely made up, they have the opportunity to say, hey, we're against it.
What makes me cringe about it is I feel like NASCAR, we talked about this a few weeks ago on the show, they've already been gentrifying. You know, they've already been like bringing in, trying to water down who they are for the sake of someone else, right? To try to bring in more fans. And there's a measure that we all should do. We should all be more palatable to other people sometimes. That being said, though, I feel like NASCAR, their problem is they've lost authenticity. And this is like the opposite of that. This makes them more not authentic. It's more fake NASCAR. You know what I'm saying? Like we're going to make everyone more competitive by making all the cars the same. No, stop. Like, don't make all the cars the same. Let the cars be different. That's what makes you interesting. And if Ford dominates this year, Ford dominates this year. That's what they do. The other people will catch up, you know? And I feel like this non-authentic NASCAR is not good. And I got to be honest, like, I just don't like being lied to there's plenty good about NASCAR that you don't have to make something fake to make it interesting.
Yeah, I get that. But, Ken, we're also...
I understand.
Dudes, we're white males with beards born in the South. So we're probably
Bubba. We're like half Bubba.
Right, basically. But we're probably going to lean into NASCAR because we grew up with it. I grew up every Sunday going to my granddad's house in Jeffersonville, Georgia, which, as I said before, was not named for George Jefferson. It was named after the president of the Confederacy. And watching NASCAR races. That's part of how I grew up. So we're already going to lean into NASCAR. We're not the target. We're not the guys they're trying to reach out to. We're already bought in. What NASCAR is trying to do is use this. In worst case scenario, even if they just made this whole thing up and there was not a noose and it was the whole spectacle that they created, almost like pro wrestling, where they made up an angle and this was totally fake. NASCAR's using this as a way to reach out to casual sports fans who don't have anything else to watch and say, hey, we are against racism. We have a black guy driving in a Black Lives Matter car, and we're not going to stand for Confederate flags, and we're not going to stand for nooses, and we're not. And that's a good thing. Overall, that's a good thing, and I think that's being lost in the shuffle.
Yeah,
is that everybody's caught up in this? Well, what is this fake or is it not? Bottom line is they send out a great positive message, which is great PR for NASCAR. And bottom line is, if it gets more butts on the couch watching NASCAR, that's a good thing for them.
But the problem I have with it is I don't know that it will. I think it's a cheap thing to get more for a week or two, and those people still won't be interested in NASCAR, and they'll turn it off, and you'll lose more of your base who's pissed off that you did something inauthentic.
It could be.
This is what it implies. It implies that NASCAR's had a racism problem. But NASCAR
really hasn't.
Way back, but I'm not talking about recently. It implies that NASCAR fans are racist. They didn't say that, but it implies
that. It's the stereotype, is what it is.
It's the stereotype
that was born from the 1970s,
and
when you see a whole ton of Confederate bikes. I've been to races in Daytona, in Atlanta, in Talladega. I don't even remember seeing a Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Maybe they were there, maybe they weren't, but it wasn't enough for me to take note of.
Right, right.
And usually, Ken, you're like me. If you see a guy with a big Confederate flag, you look at him and you're like, what a weirdo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
like, but that dude's had one too many.
But the stereotype still exists. If you're some dude in Milwaukee or Sacramento, and you think NASCAR, you think good old boys from the South that are probably all rednecks, and that's just is my service here. but that's what you picture in your head. Mm-hmm. So in this climate, in this sports climate, where there is no hockey, there's no NBA, yeah. there's no baseball, all you're competing against is the PGA. You've got an open opportunity
sure.
to sell yourself to casual fans who may never have watched NASCAR otherwise.
Yeah.
Now you've got a chance to be like, look, we're not what you think we are.
Yeah.
We're not as bad as you think we are. And I can't fault any sports league for doing that because that's just good marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to brand yourself as a bunch of backwards hillbillies. You want to brand yourself as, look, we're progressive.
I mean, unless you're Oklahoma Nation, then you just are proud to be backwards hillbillies and that's your brand. You know, that's who we are.
These people clearly don't listen to our show because, I mean, we're sitting here in support of getting rid of the Confederate flags. And
yeah.
We think the Black Lives Matter car is pretty cool. And people are going to say what they're going to say.
Right. Like, it's like Josh said, this is the thing I don't like about it, JT, is it feeds into, one, national hysteria, and two, it feeds into this idea that people already didn't like Bubba. I mean, like Josh said, Bubba was his favorite driver. You know, like that's the guy right. that he was hooked in on, you know. And now it's like because Bubba's doubling down, Josh was talking about it, he's like, now I feel like almost icky.
Oh, totally.
Pulling for Bubba totally. Because he's like, there's no way you look at that. And like I understand looking at it the first time without any context, somebody telling you about it. Maybe I get like you thinking that it was directed at you or something. But once you've had context and the FBI has told you that there was nothing to this, right. to then double down, and maybe he's got no other avenue to stay superstar. You know, it's like Josh tweeted this week. He said it was a meme, and it showed Richard Petty talking to him. He said, now, Bubba, this is what we call a fisherman's knot. And Bubba says, yeah, I know, Richard, but do you want Nike to support us next week? And Richard's like, Roll Tide. You know, like,
hey, and look, and let's be honest, there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. And that, look, sports are not geared to make it, you know, authentic.
Right.
There's too much money in television contracts. Their goal is that they're a TV show. And their goal is the same goal of Game of Thrones. Or pick your show that people were watching, whatever. I don't even know. I don't watch a lot of television. But their goal is the same. Viewers and butts and seats. That's it. Bottom line. Because it's not even about fans in the stands. I mean, baseball fans, they don't care about attendance anymore. Yeah, they make some money off hot dogs and beer. But the main thing is a television contract. That's what allows you to sign the free agents.
Yeah.
And so I can't fault a sporting entity like NASCAR for trying to get as many fans as possible to watch their sport, because that's the bottom line. It's not about season tickets. It's not about attendance.
Okay, so
at home,
I can 100% agree with what you're saying, and I can 100% also say I can fault them because I want to like your sport authentically. I don't need you to lie to other people. Like, just be good. Like you don't have to fake be good. Be good. Like, that's the difference. Like, be good enough to get people's attention because you're good, not because you instigated fake controversy, you know? And like you said, I get that a PR guy is supposed to do exactly what NASCAR did. That being said, don't do that. Like, be real. And,
I know.
And
hey,
because eventually, when you're not authentic, eventually someone's going to look at NASCAR and say, yeah, but you still only have one black driver. You don't have...
Sure.
You know, I mean, like,
right.
there comes a point where the things that do matter will show up, and you're like, yeah, but you're still not really inclusive of black people. It doesn't mean that you don't that you're racist.
It's
it just
been
means
a long
you
time
don't have a lot of black
Willie
people.
T. Ribbs and Wendell Scott were
right, right, and that's not saying that NASCAR is racist. It's saying you just don't have a culture that black people are really into.
Sure,
and then you
they
have
don't.
To deal
of course
with it,
not.
You know, like
I. How many of my black friends grew up watching NASCAR? I don't know if any of them did. I mean, it's all sports at their core are regional. You know, like if we grew up in the Northeast, we'd care more about old Big East basketball and the NBA.
Right.
Where we grew up in the Southeast, we care about NASCAR or college football.
Right.
That's just where you grew up. And so, yeah, do they have to overcome all that? Sure. I mean, and will there be more black drivers in the future? I'm sure there will be. Maybe. Maybe Bubba Wallace becomes the Tiger Woods, and there's more people of color.
Yeah.
Maybe it's big in Japan. they have auto racing in Japan that's big. Yeah. Maybe they come over here. Hispanic drivers, too. Who was the guy that drove into the, remember Daytona a couple of years ago? That drove into the thing that was,
I know you know about
Juan Pablo Montoya. Juan Pablo.
People hated him. Good gosh. Whew. And not because he was Hispanic.
Yeah, he delayed the race by an hour and a half.
Right.
I was trying to go, it was already on a Monday. I was trying to go to bed by midnight.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I don't think NASCAR cares as much about making sure that Ken from Livonia and JT from Macon are watching it. They care about New York, Chicago, L.A., these other big spots where
New York,
they're trying
Tampa
to get
Bay,
into.
Boston, everybody knows.
So, they got us. I mean, they know we're going to pay attention. You know, we're going to care.
Yeah.
But it's Eddie from Chicago that maybe has never really cared about NASCAR that now they're the only game in town, so maybe he'll watch if he knows we're not backwards hillbillies.
Yeah, he's still not going to watch. I'm just saying.
He may watch for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And maybe that's enough
when,
to hook
And when Bubba's still not a very good driver and comes in like 15th, 17th, 18th, he's going to then check out because he wants
maybe
to see.
Maybe he sees Ryan Bubba Blaney win Talladega and says, damn it, I like this
I like
kid.
Ryan Blaney. I'm a Ryan Blaney fan
kid?
Now. Yeah.
That's a good-looking young man. I'm going to hook on the Ryan Blaney trainer.
It's like,
maybe he sees Chase Elliott and says, hey, that's my guy, and I've got a reason to start watching NASCAR.
Maybe
now.
Kyle Busch brings in the homosexual audience. You know, maybe so.
Maybe Eddie from Chicago says, you know what? I'm an unlikable douchebag, and so is he.
My guy. That's my guy.
you never know. Whatever it takes to get people to watch.
Whatever it takes. Hey, we'll wrap it up on this note. Did you see where ACC Commissioner John Swofford is going to be retiring?
Yeah, I did. I saw that. Interesting time because I think they have a TV contract coming up, which is
big money
deal.
Yeah, billions.
And they really need somebody to improve their football standing in the ACC to where it's
they got Clemson.
A little more competitive. They do have Clemson.
They used to have FSU. I don't know what happened there, but Miami was supposed to be good. Don't know what happened there.
Right.
Mac is the one shot. North Carolina could be end up good football for us all said and done.
Mac Brown, who I have never seen George W. Bush and Mac Brown in the room together at the same time. They may be the same person. I'm not sure. He's doing a real good job there at North Carolina. Might be the second best team in the conference.
I think Mac Brown
of course,
and
it's Clemson
Smith
and everybody
are
else.
Brothers. Yeah, Mac Brown and Dean Smith are long lost
brothers. North Carolina Blue. That's what it is. Yeah.
But yeah, so what I found interesting is all the sports writers that were like fawning over John Swofford, and maybe rightfully so. I know nothing about the guy. I find it hysterical that the same people fawning over John Swofford are the same people who are mad that athletes don't get reimbursed, that they're the same people that are mad about the NCAA abusing and basically running players as slaves. I mean, it's the same people, and I'm like, you do realize John Swofford is a big part of that, right? Like,
And that's another thing that is just going to change with time. I think the temperature of the room, as far as like athletes getting paid,
it's over.
It's totally changed now.
Yeah, it's over. Like NCAA's days are numbered,
especially in football. These dudes are risking their physical health with all we know about CTE and concussions.
And
now,
with Florida now saying that Florida's now said players going to get paid. You know,
that's where it's going to be.
And
that's capitalism.
Yeah.
To say, look, if someone's going to offer you $500 for your autograph. That's the way the market.
This
speaking.
Has been my
that's
problem.
That's what
with
your
it.
Value is worth.
This has been my problem with it. I have zero problem with colleges not paying players. What I have a problem with is players not being able to make money off of being successful players.
Exactly.
They can't.
Exactly.
The fact that a player can't go out here and sign a shoe deal. The fact that a player can't go out here and even make money for a charity sometimes. Like,
yeah,
you know,
the only person that made their name worth a damn is the player
right,
himself.
Exactly.
And paying the players up front is a slippery slope because how do you pay the punter at Rutgers as opposed to the punter at Texas?
Well, imagine me, JT, if I'm in college and I start a business, that affects
nothing stopping you.
Like, college can't stop me from starting a business while I'm in college, like, and making millions even. And yet, a football player can't simply because he plays football. That's stupid. You know, that makes no sense. No. And where it really doesn't make sense is for the athletes not going to go pro. So you've got, first of all, there's tons of college athletes that are even really well known that are never going to be pro players. But even like imagine swimming star Jessica blah, blah, blah. You know, like nobody knows her. She can't go out and start a business because she's an NCAA athlete. You know, like,
right.
And she's never going pro. You know, like she's not going to go win an Olympic gold medal. She's competing about for the, college, you know.
Let's say that the quarterback at Georgia Southern may not be well known on a national scale. But if you own Ken Hendricks Nissan there in Statesboro,
right,
it would be very beneficial for you to have the Georgia Southern quarterback cut a commercial and say, hey, you know, I think Shy Wirtz is the quarterback at Georgia Southern, and say, hey, I shop here. Come get your Nissan Altimas down here at Ken Hendricks Nissan. On the national scale, that guy doesn't matter. But in Bullitt County, Georgia,
right,
matters a big deal. Sure.
Yeah.
So, and he may only get $500 from old Ken Hendricks Nissan down there, whereas another guy that's like Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, who's probably the front runner for the Heisman, is much more famous and would get paid more
by Nike. You know,
just a free, I mean, yeah, and that's just a free market. That's
be
just
better,
the way it is.
Get paid more, you know, and have personality, get paid more.
Don't dictate what their pay scale is. Let the market dictate.
Now, what will be interesting is how does that affect their NFL career? This will be interesting to see, JT. Does the NFL still go the route of picking players that are the most talented?
Right.
Or do they recognize they're a money-making operation and they pick players that are the most marketable? And I realize there's always going to be a balance. I'm not saying it will be one or the other.
Sure.
But it will be interesting because, I mean, imagine a team like the Miami Dolphins that have zero star power before this year. Right, like nobody down there, anybody knew.
They have star power now.
They do now, Tua. But before that, they didn't. And you could have signed someone for rebuilding years, right? You could go after someone that brings personality to the team, even if it doesn't make you Super Bowl competitive. Because at the end of the day, only two teams even get to go to the Super Bowl, and only one's going to win it. There's a whole bunch of you that ain't, and you still got to make money. You know, you know, I'm sorry, JT, but the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't drafting talent ever again. They're gonna just 100% draft people they can make money off.
I would say the NFL makes so much money that it won't make a difference. But you're right because, I think Gardner Minshew is a pretty darn good quarterback. When you look at the stats, man, he put up greats at 21 touchdowns, 6 picks as a rookie. Ain't bad. But if the Jacksonville Jaguars are 3-13, have the number one pick in the draft next year, best believe Trevor Lawrence is coming to Jacksonville.
Right.
And he's much more marketable. He's a known quantity and probably, let's be honest, more talented than Gardner Minshew.
No.
I hate to say it, but Trevor Lawrence might be the next Peyton Manning with better hair. He's like sunshine.
I can't decide if he's sexy
gorgeous
or not. He looks pretty.
Yeah, he's got a weird nose.
He does
have a weird nose. But that
he looks like that girl. Have you seen that picture of that girl that – like dressed
the girl
up
dressed
like
up as him?
Yeah, and it looked identical.
It's identical.
Yeah. He's a little girl.
I will say, as a confirmed bald, I can't help but be jealous of
all the hair is nice,
like the flowing locks coming out.
I am a bald in denial. I'm just being honest. Like
You're hanging on.
Yeah,
I'll say this
front,
thing.
And then the back starts.
That's how it starts.
Yeah,
that's how it starts,
oh,
man.
No, yeah.
Just go ahead and embrace it, man. Get the razors out.
No, I'm not embracing it.
You got the beard. You're fine. You got the beard.
No, like,
I'll say this, though.
If I shave, I'll look fat, JT.
Don't shave. No, go bald and just keep the beard.
You know the fat head.
Well, Ken, you've got a big fat head. That's
exactly.
Just how it is,
that's why
I had to break it to
you. I'm keeping the hair.
It's part of the hand God dealt you, buddy. I will say this. Factor in like the New York Giants, okay? So 2 years ago, they take Daniel Jones, the number 6 pick, out of Duke, right? And
right.
I was like, oh, Daniel Jones, who the hell is Daniel Jones? And it's a New York market. Daniel Jones doesn't ring sexy. Like, that doesn't,
DJ.
You're not going to buy a ticket for you and your son to go see Daniel Jones play ball. But if Daniel Jones wins ball games, nothing is sexier than winning ball games, buddy.
That's right, yeah.
So that always makes up for marketability.
Ask Pittsburgh about Ben Roethlisberger. That man's ugly as can be. And
exactly. I remember, as a Jaguars fan, there was several years ago, I was in my living room watching the NFL draft, and I'm saying to myself, come on, guys, take Johnny Manziel. Take Johnny Manziel, because he's fun and he's interesting. Yeah. Johnny Manziel might have been fun and marketable. He sucked.
Yeah.
He sucked at playing quarterback.
Yep.
And it wasn't going to work out for him. So as marketable as you may be on the college level, does not necessarily translate. The fun, sexy pick would have been Johnny Manziel. Not a very good pick in terms of winning football games.
Before cancel culture, the NFL didn't care at all what you were like as a person. If you could play football,
I don't think they care now. I mean, look, they gave a convicted felon, Michael Vick, a second chance. Some people still never forgive Michael Vick.
The only thing you can't do is abuse women. That's about the only thing. Abuse women and kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, Adrian Peterson still has a job.
That's true. He did. He whipped his son's bottom. I don't know. I saw the pictures. I'm not convinced. But
it's all... Yeah. Relative, but some people think that's okay.
You can't Ray Rice punch your wife or girlfriend in the face and on camera.
Well, here's what you can't do, and this is what Ray Rice is really guilty of: being a 29-year-old expensive running back.
That's
with
true.
Legal problems.
That's probably true.
Once you're too old and too expensive, and you have legal problems,
that's true.
You're done. Yeah, you're done. And you can't have that kind of stuff without being the cheapest, most best available option.
Yeah, speaking of which,
it's business.
We'll wrap up on this note. Has there been any did Jake Fromm get canceled? I know people were trying to because of old tweets.
Still there.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes come training camp and stuff like that, if he makes the team and all that. But he has survived that.
It doesn't hurt
fiasco
to be in Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, nobody pays attention.
No, it would have been way worse to be in New York or LA or a bigger medium.
Oh, yeah, if he were there, he'd be gone. Probably. They would have had to cut him.
I think Buffalo can kind of be forgotten about, you know. But, I'm pulling for Jake. I think he's a good kid. Texted dumb stuff and got burned
and had
for
a
it.
Vindictive female in his life.
Vindictive female. And, hey, be smarter and don't be a dummy.
Yeah.
Like,
don't tweet
you
stupid
have high
stuff.
Stature.
Don't text
kids.
Stupid stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if he was even trying to make a joke, I mean,
it wasn't funny.
You can't do those kind of things. Yep. You know, be a Tim Tebow. Don't have anything that can be dug up like that.
Yeah.
Be better.
Hey, that's a good note to end this episode on. JT, all our listeners out there, be better. Be better, people. I don't really know how to be better, but be better. Be better at tying knots. Don't tie
small
noses.
Steps.
I don't know. Be better, NASCAR. Be better. Be better. Be better. Be better. Be better. Chili's, better back ribs. Okay. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to the Knock Combination podcast show. If you'd like to support the show, we got some new patrons joining the show. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you'd like to do that and join them, you can do so at Patreon.
Garrett's our new patron.
Garrett's one of them, yeah. And yeah. And James, I think, was the other one. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Two new patrons in the last day. So, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/knockahomanation. Join the revolt, where we revolt against people who take themselves way too seriously. And we be better. We be better to them. Also, get yourself some mighty cool-looking swag at shop.spreadshirt.com/knockahomanation. We got some really awesome shirts that not nearly enough of y'all are taking advantage of. They're really cool. Check them out. Just saying. Again, that's shop.spreadshirt.com/knockahomanation. JT, did you have fun at the beach, bud?
I did. I was in Destin, surrounded by about 750,000 rednecks. It's very rednecky, but it was cool. It was awesome.
Nice.
Anytime I get my toes in the sand, I'm a happy camper. So
toes in
working
the water,
on my tan,
butt in just the clay,
trying to keep it as tan as possible.
Not a worry in the world. PBR on the way. Life is good today.
Nice
JT
tan skin.
Has been good today. Later, JT.
I was very happy with it.
Love
see
you,
buddy.
See ya.
Bye. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomanation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @knockahomantn. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.